Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. As plastic surgeries have become increasingly common in South Florida, so have the dangers associated with them. A new investigation from USA Today found 8 deaths over the course of 6 years at a Miami plastic surgery clinic. There have also been dozens of hospitalizations, yet the key doctor behind the clinics continues to practice. And one thing these clinics have in common, they cater to people who usually can't afford plastic surgery procedures. Michael Sala, formerly of the Miami Herald, led the investigation along with Maria Perez. Sala joins us now from the USA Today offices in Washington, D.C. Michael Sala, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Louis. Glad to be here.
And also, just to mention, you were, as a former employee of the Miami Herald, we haven't spoken in quite a while, so it's good to talk to you again.
You as well, my friend.
All right, let's start with this. What was the catalyst for doing this investigation?
We were noticing up here and from afar the numbers of deaths that were being reported. Even in the Miami Herald, had done a really good job of doing the daily coverage. We wanted to step back, Louis, and kind of look at what was behind these clinics. And these were what we found was this is one of about 15 what we would call factory clinics. They do multiple surgeries every day. Most of the doctors are not board certified. And most of the patients come in from out of state. So these are national facilities, essentially. They're bringing people from all over the country. And we thought this was a good time to do a deep dive and see what's behind these entities and how do they work.
Why has Miami become this hotspot for these kind of plastic surgeries, any plastic surgery in general, actually?
That's a good question, Louis. I think part of it is you're dealing with a state government that doesn't provide very aggressive oversight. That's number one. And number two, you have you're Miami. That's, you know, body beautiful. That's the culture. So it's going to breed a lot of plastic surgery has always had a long tradition there. But with these new facilities are driven largely by social media. They have found a niche down there where they can operate without a lot of oversight. And they can, with the combination of discount prices, social media, and the real popularity of what they call the Brazilian butt lift. It's a very popular procedure among the African-American and Hispanic communities. So these very savvy marketing entities are now going out and advertising across the country, and Miami has become kind of a hot spot. Also, you know, you can practice here without medical malpractice insurance. It's almost the perfect storm, and it's allowed these entities to thrive and to grow, and they're not slowing down.
In the investigation, so you found a series, again, of clinics run by this one specific person. 8 patients died over 6 years. You profiled the victims in your piece in USA Today. You tried to talk with the owner of the clinics, Dr. Ismael Labrador, and you searched records to figure out what was really going on in these clinics. Do you see this as really, is it fundamentally a systemic problem across this industry, or is it just about a few bad actors like this doctor?
There are about a dozen to 15. Dr. Labrador, the reason why we profiled that particular clinic to start with was because he had the highest number of deaths. There are other facilities that have had deaths and multiple untold injuries. So all of these places are dangerous because of the high volume of surgeries they do and by doctors that are not board certified. But to kind of categorize it as just a few bad apples, it doesn't quite capture the measure of the breadth and scope of these businesses. They are literally servicing tens of thousands of patients every year. They're flying in from all over the country. And this one particular entity, we did a study of the business model. We found that after one or two deaths, they would change the name. They would change the corporate structure. They bring in other presidents of the company. In some cases, they were straw presidents. But it was always one person behind it, Dr. Labrador, and typically one or two people on his staff. And by changing the names, they could make sure that it was more difficult. Now, we're not suggesting that it was intentional on their part, although I don't know why anybody would want to change their brand that often. But each time they changed the name, that would make it more difficult for people researching the place to know that there had been deaths and injuries at that facility.
And you're talking about that they were changing the name of their clinics.
That is correct. Okay. They would change the name of the clinic multiple times over the last 3 years, so that each time it made it harder to do this, to discern whether that place had had problems before.
We're talking with Michael Sala, investigative reporter for USA Today. They have a new investigation that looks at one Miami plastic surgeon's office, a series of clinics, I should say, here in Miami, where 8 deaths occurred over a 6-year period. And we're looking at these clinics and how they operate and why Miami's become this hotspot for these type of plastic surgeons. Again, surgeons that are doing procedures for cheap and are able to do many of them. And of course, they are putting people at risk. Michael, who is this Dr. Labrador? I mean, what kind of background does he have? What kind of degrees, certifications?
Sure. Well, he's a medical doctor. He graduated from the University of Havana Medical School. He's from Cuba. He came to the United States and worked many years as a medical assistant, and he worked at some of these cosmetic centers. He learned the business. He got his Florida license. And then he opened up 2 clinics, one in Hialeah and one in Miami around 2006. He was continually being investigated by the police because he kept using medical personnel, workers who were not even medically licensed. They had no licenses, and they were doing, in some cases, no Florida licenses, and they were doing invasive procedures on women, including vaginal rejuvenations, reconstructions. And he got caught by the police twice and was arrested twice. And eventually he settled with the state's attorney's office. He took a pretrial diversion program. They dropped the charges. And then he went on a bender. And it was after that that he really took off. He started developing really, really advanced social media keyword optimization to be able to get his message out about his clinics and what they offered. And thousands of patients started flying in every year for procedures at his clinics.
Help us understand, you know, how it's supposed to work in Florida. If a patient dies in any kind of medical facility, like, what does the state do? Because there have been 8 deaths in his clinics. But what's supposed to happen if someone dies in a medical facility here?
Well, that's another good question, Lewis. A couple of these deaths, they were never reported to the state as required by law. So those deaths were never, they died sadly in a vacuum. The others, the state did come in. It did charge 2 doctors. It charged 2 doctors with botching Brazilian butt lifts, which led to the deaths of 2 women. And one of the doctors had no credentials. His only credentials was a weekend seminar in liposuction and a 1-day class in fat transfers. He was not even close to being board certified.
And if a death occurs in a hospital, is it different than in a clinic?
Well, sure. First of all, hospitals are only going to allow board certified plastic surgeons to do surgeries. And it's very difficult to do these kinds in hospitals are not really open to elective surgeries. They do allow them, but it's typically a doctor who's usually on staff. But these are surgical offices. The problem is that the state can go after the individual doctors, and because they don't license these facilities in Florida, it can't shut a facility down. So all the owner has to do is simply hire another bad doctor, and that's what they do. So that's why these places have perpetuated themselves, in addition to the name changes of the facilities and all that. These entities can just go on and on and on.
You mentioned it a couple of times, and I know that I've driven by some of these clinics regularly, and you see the sign, and it's the Brazilian butt lift. That's the procedure that's become very popular. But as you pointed out in the story, this is a dangerous procedure, even for highly trained physicians. There's a great risk.
Oh, very much so. First of all, the mortality rate is about one in every 3,000 surgeries, which is scary. That you're up there with, you know, open heart left surgery, open heart surgeries, and that's number one. Two, you're moving fat. What basically what you're doing, Lewis, is you're taking fat out of the stomach and other areas. You're putting it in the rear and into the buttocks. They want to reshape their bodies. And they're using human fat instead of silicone or saline in the old days. And now the problem is, if the doctors get aggressive and they try to inject the fat into the muscle, it can break those veins that are there. You have veins in there. And sadly, then you've injected fat into the bloodstream. It goes right to the heart and the lungs. And that's what's happened to most of these were single moms. They're from working class families. These are not high end, you know, high society things. These are working moms who found to use their tax returns, took loans out in their cars, and they just wanted to, you know, kind of turn back the clock a little bit on their bodies. And they found a place where they could instead of spending $10,000 with a board certified doctor in New York, they decided they were going to go to Miami and get it done for $3,500 to $4,000.
Yeah, there's a clip from a USA Today short video documentary. A part of your investigation, one of the women who died was Heather Meadows, and she flew here to Miami for the procedure. And this is from that video. Here's her friend Susanna Wilson speaking.
Heather had decided that she wanted surgery probably a year and a half prior to her going and having the procedure done. She researched this clinic. She looked up these doctors. She, you know, did everything that as normal people that was going to have plastic surgery to do. You know, she was on the website. She was looking at the doctors, and she was smart. She, you know, we trusted her. We trusted that she knew what she was doing.
Michael, how common was Heather Meadows' situation, and how was it unique?
Well, here's the thing. You know, she had this surgery. The clinic was promoting her doctor at the time, James McAdoo, saying that he had a great history of results and remarkable results, and they really promoted him. Sadly, nobody had looked back into his past. When he was in Illinois, he had settled two big cases for $750,000, malpractice cases, where he scarred and disfigured a couple women, and he had real issues there. But Heather never knew that. And so that was part of the problem. Secondly, what made it very common is because they said that you were going to be able to get the highest medical care when you come here, and she never got that. And third, what made this case unique is that he did that surgery in 55 minutes. That's a two-hour surgery. It should not have taken 55 minutes. So it was rushed.
Something else was, I don't know if it was Heather, but I know that in one of the other cases, maybe it was hers, where the patient came down and didn't even, like, it was just shortly before the operation is when they finally met the doctor.
That happens all the time, Lewis. They don't have time to meet. These are doctors that are always doing surgeries. It's fast food. It's a fast food franchise. And so they often enough don't meet the patient until the day of the surgery, sometimes just an hour before. In her case, she showed up in good faith the day before to meet him, and he never showed. And so, unfortunately, it makes it a fear factor, too, because it's scary enough going into surgery, and then you haven't even met your doctor. You find that a lot. And also in the post-op, where you don't even see your doctor after your surgery. Sometimes it's just a medical assistant.
I think one of the hair-raising moments that you pointed out in the story is, and I think it was Heather's story, that just before going into procedure, she texts a friend and literally texted her friend, "Pray for me." She was terrified. She knew something was wrong, and yet she still went through with it. You talked about how this Dr. Labrador picks his doctors for his clinics, and it seems like it's like a rotating door. Doctors come in and out, and they work on commission.
Yeah, that's true. They come in, he gives them around 30%, approximately, depending on the doctor. They get about a 30% commission. And a lot of these doctors make a lot of money, because if they can rack up surgeries, if you can do 7-8 surgeries a day, you're making $15,000, sometimes more. So the potential of making money, one doctor told me who left the clinic that he made close to $1 million his first year there. And I don't believe he's ever made that since, because now he's just in another practice where it's far more sedate and far more normal. So yes, that's true. And the doctors, another big issue is that they're not board certified. So that means basically, Lewis, they didn't go through a residency training, which is 6 years of residency. And then you have to pass these rigorous oral and written board exams. In fact, one doctor who had a lot of problems failed his board exams. And so a lot of these doctors are not even qualified, formally schooled in plastic surgery. They basically learn on the job.
What can you do as a patient? Because it, as we heard from Heather Meadows' friend, that Heather had gone online and did research, and all they kept finding were these great reviews. But, you know, we know that reviews and all of that, that could be faked. I mean, what are you supposed to do as a patient, you know, when you're doing your research to make sure that you really know what you're getting yourself into?
Number one, make sure that your doctor is a board certified plastic surgeon. Board certified. That would be number one. That'd be first and foremost. Secondly, find out and see if the doctor, go online. There is a, Florida Department of Health website where you can check out your doctor's credentials. You can see if they've had any malpractice cases against them. You can find out if they've been disciplined, regulatory disciplinary actions taken against them. That would be the second thing that I would do. Third, I would only go to a clinic that was either accredited. That means it's actually inspected. And also, you know, make sure that you meet your doctor once or twice before your surgery. See if you feel comfortable with that doctor and see if that doctor's knows their specialty areas very well. Sometimes certain procedures, you want to make sure they've done these before. And I think the last thing I would do is I would Google the facility, Google the address, see if any other names of clinics come up to make sure that this place hasn't operated and just gone through a lot of different name changes. If you can take those steps, I think you can minimize your risks greatly.
Let me finish with this. I mean, has there been any conversation in the Florida legislature about trying to hamper these kind of operations or make things a little bit tougher for them?
Sadly, there's been efforts in the past to license the facilities, to basically go, you know, make sure that you can, by now, the state could have come in and suspended the license, revoked the license, and taken real harsh measures. But that's what they have discussed before. They proposed legislation. It's never passed. There's a very strong sentiment in Tallahassee about not regulating things, but in so doing, you're not, you know, it's the effort, it's really to save lives. I do believe that there will be efforts this legislative session to come back with legislation that would then again bring up the prospect of licensing these facilities so that the state, you can't just hire another bad doctor, you're basically out of business.
We've been talking with Michael Sala, investigative reporter for USA Today. He worked with Maria Perez on an investigation into 8 deaths that occurred over a 6-year period at plastic surgery clinics in Miami. All of those clinics linked to one doctor. You can learn more about the story at our Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure. Great talking to you again.
And you as well, my friend. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. And also, I want to go real quickly. We heard from you. You posted up on Twitter, we heard from Lorraine Dowdy, who said, people forget cosmetic surgery is not less risky because you choose to have it. Additionally, most of the clinic docs don't have hospital privileges. I've seen the complications firsthand. Hashtag bootleg surgery. Thank you so much for that comment, Lorraine. Again, you can find us on Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Let us know what you think. Well, still to come, we talk to the author of a new book that explores the relationship between Donald Trump and the elites of Palm Beach County. That's next on Sundial.